Good morning. The scripture for today has been taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. May God add his blessing to this reading.
Well, good morning. Glad that you're here this morning. There are times when we think that we get it right, but we don't. I want to share a story about a situation of a fellow who was coming to the end of his life. He was in the presence of his nurse, his wife, his son, and two daughters. And on his deathbed, he began to share. And he said to them, Bernie, I want you to take the Beverly Hills houses. Sybil, take the apartments over the Los Angeles Plaza. Jaime, I want you to take the offices over the city center. And Sarah, my dear wife, please take all the residential buildings downtown. The nurse was blown away as she witnessed what was happening. And as the man faded away, she whispered to his wife, Mrs. Swartz, your husband must have worked very hard to accumulate all that property. To which she supplied, property schmopperty. He had a paper route. Sometimes we don't get it right. I direct your attention to Acts chapter 10 this morning. And as we work through this chapter, let's be asking questions. What do we see here? Acts 10. Let me start off by reading the first 8 verses. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorable offering before the Lord. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one who had been his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So what do we see here in this initial passage of Acts 10? Cornelius was a centurion. He was a Roman soldier identified with the Italian regiment. He was also an earnest inquirer of God, described as a devout and God-fearing man. Not only was he a leader of the Roman army, he led in his home, leading his family in spiritual things. His commitment to do what he knew to be right was seen by others, and he was known for his generosity to the needy and for his prayer life. He was a man who was genuinely seeking the Lord. One day he had a vision. An angel of God appeared to him. God was aware of his prayer and his acts of kindness. No good deed goes unnoticed by God. And the angel gave him some very personal instruction to send men to Joppa to get a man by the name of Simon, who was also known as Peter, and even gave him instructions as to where he was at. And the scripture says, when the angel had gone, he called two servants, as well as one of his personal and devout soldiers, whom he knew he could count on, and told them just what had happened, and sent them to Joppa. Then the scene changes as we read in 9 and following. About noon the following day, as they were on the journey and approaching the city, Peter went up the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open up and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all the things of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then the voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him the second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So what do we see here? It would seem that Peter had a particular time where he went, pulled away, and sought to pray alone. And as it was nearing noon, he was praying. He was getting hungry. And at such a time, he fell into a trance and saw this vision as was described. The vision, a sheet was being lowered from heaven with all kinds of animals that would have been declared as unclean according to the Old Testament law. Then there was the command, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." This would have been so contrary to the way Peter had been raised, how he had lived his whole life. So he responded, "Surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." What a response. And then came the reproof. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And we see, according to verse 16, that this happened three times. Why do you suppose it happened three times? Possibly because Peter had such a hard time with such instruction, with such command. Maybe it was repeated to Peter so that he got it straight. Or maybe it was because it was really important that he get and understand the message. And what was the crux of this message? What God had declared as clean, don't call unclean. This would have been a real challenge for Peter to accept. And yet it was extremely clear that he get it. As Peter ponders, challenges continue in verses 17 to the first part of 23. As Peter pondered this vision, three men arrived and called out to see if this was the place where Simon, known as Peter, was staying. As it happened, Peter was again confronted by the Holy Spirit, saying, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them," it says in verses 19 and 20. How much clearer could it get? Yet there was something that Peter didn't know. These men were Gentiles, people whom the Jews were to have little dealings with. Peter goes and introduces himself and asks, "What do you want?" And he hears their story. In verse 22, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." This was another significant challenge for Peter. Peter continues to be stretched as he invites these men into the house as his guests. As we keep reading, we see more. Some interesting instruction. The latter part of verse 23, "The next day Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. 'Stand up,' he said, 'I am only a man myself.' Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, 'You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without hesitation or objection. May I ask you why you sent me?' Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives at the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it is good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" The distance between Caesarea and Joppa is about 30 miles. Now this is substantiated, but this is what I kind of think. For every hour traveled in the plane, it takes a day to travel that in a car. And for every hour traveled in a car, it takes a day to travel that on a bicycle. And for every hour traveled on a bicycle, it takes about a day to travel that far walking, unless I'm riding the bicycle. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but it seems right to me that that's about how the distance is. Peter was about 30 miles away. And along with the three men that was sent by Cornelius and a few other believers from Joppa, they headed off to Caesarea. And they arrived at Cornelius' place about 3 o'clock in the following afternoon. Upon entering the house, Cornelius falls on the ground in reverence before Peter. And Peter would have none of that and says, "Get up, I'm only a man like you." And while Peter and Cornelius were getting acquainted, Peter is led to another room. There a large group of people had gathered. These were friends and families of Cornelius who had been invited to listen to what Peter had to say. He, Cornelius, was excited to hear what God had to say to him through Peter. And he invited those to whom he cared about to be part of this as well. And Peter shares his discomfort about, but also the reason why he was willing to come against the traditions of his people in verses 28 and 29. So Cornelius shares his story. While he was praying, suddenly someone appears before him in shining clothes and says, "God has heard me and seen the things that I have done. And I was to send for you." Now, here we are in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. And at this point, Peter preaches. This was the scripture reading that was read to us by George. Verses 34 to 43. First Peter starts off with some personal insight. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." This was huge for Peter. It's also very, very significant for the church to get a handle on. Then his message centers on Jesus Christ, who Jesus was, being Lord of all, brought the good news of peace in verses 36 to 38. How he ministered through Judea, doing good and healing those under the power of the enemy. Peter said he was the personal witness of the things that Jesus did, but that the Jews in Jerusalem would not believe. And they crucified him. But God raised him up the third day. We witnessed that. So did others. And we ate and drank with him even after the resurrection. In verses 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the people testified about him. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. And then we see a Gentile revival. In verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised people, believers, who came with Peter were astonished that the gifts of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized in water? With water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with him for 3 days, or for a few days. While Peter was speaking, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the people believed. And there was evidence of the coming of the Holy Spirit amongst them. The Christians that had come from Joppa were amazed at what they saw, how the Holy Spirit had come upon these Gentile people. Peter encouraged them in their newfound faith to be baptized. Baptism is an outward expression of what has happened inside, as to identify with Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Peter was encouraged to stay with them, to teach them and encourage them in their newfound faith. Well, I haven't shared anything with you this morning that you could not have drawn out of the passage yourself. But this brings us to the question, what can we learn from this? Well, one thing is being good and fearing God is not enough. We live in a society that thinks that as long as your good outweighs your bad, you're going to be okay. Or it doesn't really matter what you believe. All the gods are the same. Any god will do. But that is not what we see here. That simply is not true. Cornelius was a good man. He feared God. He helped the poor. He was even a man of prayer. He was respected by the Jewish nation, other people. And yet that was not good enough. And something else we see, God knew the heart of Cornelius and he responds to him. In fact, Jesus promised in Matthew 7:7-8, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Sadly, though, as Jesus says, there will be some sorely surprised on Judgment Day. Matthew 7:21-23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Being good and fearing God is not enough. Also, we can learn the Holy Spirit is at work. Before Peter even enters into the storyline, the Holy Spirit is at work, preparing Cornelius for the opportunity for him to hear and to receive the message of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Don't dare think that winning people to Christ is solely up to you and me. Don't go there. It's not a matter of how well you can present the gospel or how influential you can be or what a good salesman you are. The Holy Spirit must be at work. And I believe God also responds to the cry of his people as we pray for those to whom that are lost, that we genuinely care about. We lift them before the Lord and asking God to intercede. And we see here, though God was dealing with Cornelius, many others under Cornelius' influence benefited from this event. I love 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Praise the Lord. We also see here that the message is the same. Did you notice in this story when Cornelius met with these men? Or when Cornelius' men first met with Peter, they said, a holy angel told him, Cornelius, to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. In verse 22. And then again in verse 33, when Cornelius was explaining to Peter, so I sent for you immediately and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Did you notice that Peter didn't say, well, yes, the Lord told me to come here, but he didn't tell me what to say? We don't see that. No. What Peter was to say was told to him much earlier. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. In Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, Jesus told his disciples, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. In John 20, verse 21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Acts 1, 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We have been given a message, and Peter shared it. It says in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Something else that we can learn from this story, God may very well call us out of our comfort zone. Look at Peter, having a quiet, private prayer time before lunch. And he is confronted with a real dilemma. Peter, kill, eat. Oh man, that goes so contrary to everything he'd been raised about. And then three men come and arrive and said, come with us. Not only just guys, they were Gentiles. Oh man, that's still another tough one. They take him to Caesarea, which is a Roman army's military headquarters of the area. Not only does he take him to Caesarea, but he takes him to one of the commanders of the Roman army. And there was a crowd waiting for him. Remember, this is a time when opposition and persecution was on the significant rise. And Peter is going into, well, can he expect a friendly situation? What do they want of him? And we see him struggling over his childhood education and his inheritance, or his heritage, where he's not supposed to be there in this kind of a situation. God may be working in people that we may feel very uncomfortable with. Learn the lesson that Peter did, and be very careful calling something unclean that God has called clean. Remember, we have all come to God empty-handed, pleading for his mercy, for his grace, for his forgiveness, then rejoicing in his salvation, worshiping him for who he is and what he has done. Praise God. And we do praise God for his wonderful salvation that he has extended to us. So in summary, being good is not good enough. But God is at work. And we have been given the message, the gospel of salvation. And this is required to be received if a person is to be saved. We have some material that we want to make available to you or make known to you that's in the back foyer. That will help, I trust, in you sharing your life, the good news, with those to whom the Lord brings across your path. Finding the hope. This is a great track. This is a track good for people who you don't know where they're at. But this will confront them with giving some serious thought to the Lord Jesus Christ. It confronts them with where they were possibly at present. It's a good track to give to people who you just want to share, but you haven't got that intent relationship maybe to share the gospel with them directly. This does get to the gospel, but there's a good intro to that. Then there's the Knowing God Personally booklets. This little booklet is a great book to walk through someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity to share, to take two of these so you can walk with someone as they read it and you read it, and you can walk through that. And if they have a spouse or a significant other who they're not there at the present, then give them yours so that they can share that with them. There's not a lot of these in the back, but we're getting a lot coming in. And so if you take these, help yourself to them. If they're not there, keep watching, and we will be getting them there. Our daily bread. Most of you are familiar with these, our daily bread. But this isn't just your regular our daily bread. This does not have dates in it. This is intended to be given out to people who are going through some challenges. Maybe they've got time on their hands, unexpected time as they're laying in bed or having to be quiet. Or maybe they're going through some real grieving time. Maybe they're just going through some real challenging times in life. This would be a great thing to give to them. I think it's 90 days of just day-by-day stuff. and it covers a vast variety of stuff. But the gospel is in here. There's a lot of these. Help yourself to those if you have opportunity to share. Then we got a bunch of business cards. Forest Baptist Church business cards. And we would leave it up to your imagination how you can use these. Maybe you could stick one of these in any one of these publications, or just kind of share these in some sort of other. We have a gospel to share. God may ask us to step out of our comfort zone and share this good news. In fact, I'm pretty certain that he will, because the comfort zone isn't necessarily where the lost are. What will be your response? How will you respond to the opportunity that God gives you to invite to be part of growing his kingdom, growing his church? May we be open to his leading and obedient to his instruction, as we see in Peter. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instruction that you give to us. Thank you for the wonderful gospel that we have, the good news that you sent your Son to die for our sin, that we can be called children of God. Lord God, we have been entrusted with such good news. We have been called by you as ambassadors, as your representatives here. You have not left us abandoned to do this. Your Holy Spirit is at work and will lead us and will even give us the words to say when we don't know what to say. And help us, Lord, to learn to be dependent upon you. Help us to know the gospel clearly in your word, that we might be able to recall it. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have to be called co-laborers with you. We pray these things to your glory and to the growth of your church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.